Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Kind of Funny Games cast each and every week right here on YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games. We get together, talk about video games, all the things that we love about them. You can get the show for free as a podcast on podcast services. Just search for Kind of Funny Games cast or on YouTube, YouTube.com/Kind of Funny Games on Mondays at 6 a.m. Pacific time. But if you wanted to get the show early, you can go to Patreon.com/Kind of Funny Games. Silver members get the show early. You also get it ad free. You get the pre-show. You get the post-show.
A sweatshirt. It's a great time. That
you don't get the sweatshirt. You see the sweatshirt.
Yeah. What a deal.
Bronze people get to participate. Get this counts for everyone in the game show.
To witness
Games
it.
Daily with no ads. What a world.
What a world, man. God, what a time to be alive. Before we get too far into this, Jared.
Yes,
you're leaving us after an entire year of being on this show.
Why do you think I'm leaving? I've been fired and replaced. That's what's happened right here.
You always
I was originally fired from IGN, along with everyone else here.
Of course.
And now Greg's fired me from Kind of Funny.
100% true.
Then he's going to fire Tim. Mm-hmm. Then he's going to fire Fran.
That's the big set.
And then he's going to fire himself. And then he's going to go start some other thing. That's going to happen.
Exactly.
Kind of fired.
Exactly. Kind of fired. No, I figured I'd ridden you guys' coattails as far as I could again. So I'm off to bigger and better things. Now, I'm going to take a writing job with a group called Free Association. You have not heard the last of me, definitely, but this is the last Gamescast appearance I'll be making as a regular episode. Member of the cast. Yeah,
that's why we asked you to bring your list of top 10 things you love about Jared.
I got to
not ask. I would have misunderstood.
He would have misunderstood it anyway and brought something else.
That's like true. Oh, the only other Jared I can think of is that pedophile.
Like, I was going to say,
here's the other things. Jared Kushner. There's a non-pedophile Jared.
Jared Leto? Like, that was,
there you go, too. I went to the Joker. I just couldn't think of him.
None of these are favorable.
Jared, you're the top of the
Jared. Top 10 Jareds.
Yeah.
Jared Leto, I guess we go so-called life. He was pretty awesome.
Yeah, he was awesome.
Got a pretty groovy new full-time gig, and that's requiring me to rearrange a lot of the content I make, so this is one of the things that has to go.
We're super proud of you. It's a cool thing. I'm excited for you to talk about.
I'm really excited.
Very cool stuff. But it's sad that you're leaving this, but then you'll be back, I'm sure.
Yeah,
occasionally.
I certainly hope so.
But you just won't be a full-time member.
Yeah, I'm just not a member of the cast.
Full-time
right now.
Gamescast.
Fortunately, Fran Mirabella is already twice the man I am, so he can fill both of these chairs with a single butt. And I'm really impressed by that.
Two cheeks, put them to use.
One thing I haven't had a chance to talk to you about yet, I just want your permission on air. This this popped on the subreddit today, now because as we're recording, is when you announced, right? What got posted is that they, you know how it's Debatable with Jared Petty?
Yeah.
They want to rename it Debatable Without Jared Petty.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
And I want the logo to come in with a big like Ghostbusters no symbol to your face and come out.
You know what? If you want to be Debatable Without Jared Petty, that's fine by me.
We'll see what we rename it.
Yeah, no problem with that.
The intro should escalate in how his name like blows up and it just keeps getting worse.
Obviously, Jared's been a huge part of Kind of Funny for the last year. Thank you very much for everything that you've done and will continue to do. Yeah, a whole year. Entire year in there.
I mean, when y'all brought me in, obviously I was coming off a tremendous transition. My life had upended in the most spectacularly painful, strange way possible. And y'all really just gave me, I went from one of the worst hours of my life to one of the best years of my life. Thanks.
There you go. And hopefully next year is better.
I have never enjoyed anything more than doing Gamescast. I love this.
It's been fun.
I love it.
Wish I could say the same. I love it.
For all of the other shows that you're on, you will no longer be on Games Daily either.
Yeah, no longer Games Daily. There's a Monday episode of Games Daily. That'll be my final.
Yeah, Debatable. We're gonna figure out. We'll keep you guys updated on what we decide. Yeah. With that and.
Yeah, you're pretty much screwed on Debatable because I can't record anymore.
Yeah,
so
we'll figure it out.
But you haven't seen the last of me.
But then in terms of like the other stuff, Pockets and all your Hot Blitz Jump stuff.
I've got the easiest way to do it. I've got a little video on YouTube, but the main way to find out, and I hate drawing people to a Patreon on a day I'm quitting my job, but that's where the notice is right now because I wanted the people that back me to understand exactly what I'm doing. Red Dead Radio is over. Final episode of that will go up next week. We'll finish that.
The game isn't as good as you.
Oh, I love that. I love that game.
Didn't know if you're gonna stop lying now.
I've said this many times, but that game was made for me. Like they just reached into my mind.
It was so good, you left the industry after. Yeah, like, part of it. It'll never be better.
So but yeah, Red Dead Razor. I'll still do Pockets. I'll still do some other things. Actually, I've been. I'm hoping to keep doing this just for fun. I've started streaming. I'm rebuilding my games collection one game at a time. And so I started streaming these old games as I rebuild them. Like, oh, here's the new game I got this week. Here's what it is. Here's why I care about it. Here's why I bought it. Here's why I keep it and play it.
Cool.
And that's called Recollection. I think I'll still keep doing that. Good name. I think it's a lot
I
of
like
fun.
That
good
one.
Name.
Yeah, and that's just something I'm going to do for fun for a while, I think. And I've thought about some other things, definitely. But you can get the whole list there. So
that's
cool. Exciting stuff. Pay attention to Jared. Now get into the games.
Pay attention to Jared.
Friend.
Yes, sir.
You played some pretty cool shit recently.
You guys been busy. I got to play some stuff.
Would you please tell us about Anthem?
Oh, my God. Perfect timing because the embargo was just up hours ago. I got to go down to EA. I got to play the demo early, so by the time everybody hears this, you'll get to play the VIP demo if you pre-ordered or you're part of the Premier subscription service. But I actually got to play the very beginning of the game with the full game. Got to play the opening missions and all that. And, you know, if you reflect back on... We were talking about Anthem. It is my most anticipated game that I talked on here, but my reservation was a lot of what I've seen is kind of flying around that open world and, I don't know, big enemies that take a while to take down. I thought it might be, who knows, too much of that. I'm relieved to say that there is a lot of depth.
Really?
There's absolutely story in there. It's a BioWare game. We didn't get to go too far into that. It's polished, man. I got to play classes at the depth that I never had, but just the amount of things you can do to buff and create these loops between characters in terms of, let's say you're using a gun that refills your RB ability. You also, unlike a game like Destiny, I think a lot of people think of it like Destiny, where it's, you've got these multiple classes and I got to choose. But I really, it opened my eyes to, I'm like, no, it's not that at all. It is a BioWare RPG, action RPG in the third person. And you progress to unlock all your javelins. You unlock them at 2, 8, 16, and 28 in whatever order you want. So you get to choose. But once you unlock them, you can swap between all your javelins. And even better, it's not like the javelins just come with big missile, this gun. It's not locked. So you have support abilities and different R and LB abilities, for lack of a better way to put it, that you can customize. And so, and maybe end on illustrating, I kind of got hooked in right away to doing my combos with a certain LB and RB kind of ability. So I'd toss like an acid smoke nade, and then you go in for the melee, that builds your super up, and you create this loop. I made the mistake of changing that out in the next thing I went to. I was like, wait, I'm not getting these combos anymore. I had cluster bombs and, you know, ninja stars or whatever. I was playing on the Interceptor.
This sounds awesome.
So there's, I know, and I know I'm moving a million miles a minute. I played like a lot of it, and I talked about it all this morning on stream during the embargo. But I'm really excited if you like that type of progression. I can't say how long it's going to last, but I'm feeling from, yes, it was always my most anticipated because it scratches an itch, to I'm pumped. And it has just that polish, man, of a BioWare game. It feels great, and I think the story is going to be there. There's story choices to make. I don't know what impact they have, but... I'm just stoked. It's a really good looking game. And yeah.
The thing I'm most excited about is the feel of the game, because, you know, like we've talked about a lot, where with God of War, you feel like Thor throwing the hammer when it comes back to you. And it's like, that was one of the most unique video game feelings I've ever had. This looks like Iron Man. Does it feel like Iron Man?
I think so. That's what I kept saying to you guys, is when you pick up the controller and you engage your jets. So you jump in the air and you start flying. It feels so cool, and I love playing with the controller, even on the PC, as much as I love very precise aiming.
Fuck you, PC.
But, I mean, the PC is amazing. It probably runs at 60, and the consoles, I think, are locked at 30, and just saying. But, man, when you engage, and even better, when you jump, you get that little rumble. You can feel the boosters at every moment. And so, for example, I was playing as an Interceptor, which is like that very sleek, hunter-looking ninja class. And so it has a triple jump, so you're like, boosts. And then in midair, you can like stop your boost, and it also has like this triple boost dash thing that you can dodge with. So you're like triple jump, boost, stop, dash, and it's just so mobile. And so I've been loving that class. But then meanwhile, you can go play a Storm, and you've got this, you know, shield bubble around you, you're just floating with a cape. It's incredible looking, and the powers are so cool. So I've only got a taste of it. It really does depend on the depth, but as you can tell, I'm really excited now.
Did the story seem interesting, starting it from the beginning, playing through that?
It does. You know, I can't give away anything, and I would not want to spoil anything, but it has that normal progression of, like, something's really wrong in this world. These things are sort of trying to take over. You are kind of this, you're basically a lost superhero. You're kind of like a, I don't know, the best example.
That sounds really good. Yeah, that sounds really good. The cape sounds really good.
So basically, yeah, freelancers, if everybody didn't know, they're basically this hero that everybody would turn to. And you were a freelancer. Oh my God, you know, the glory days.
Sure.
But now the whole world's like worn down and freelancers get no respect. But fucking, you want to return to that
of
glory.
Us in the great
and now,
war.
Yeah, there's some trouble. You still get treated like crap. Presumably you return to glory as you hopefully save the world. But it has all that going on. And you know, BioWare, they do such a good job with writing and the dialogue. I can say compared to other games that are out there, I don't think there's going to be anything that combines all of this that does it at the level that I've been seeing. So
that sounds awesome.
I'm excited. You guys hopefully pre-ordered it and you're not going to be able to play it this week.
I got the beta
access. Unless you get
yeah.
home by Sunday or no, you don't.
No.
Well, you have tomorrow though. Try it tomorrow. If you have
yeah,
time.
There's nothing
just for
on.
A few, but there's an open demo the following week. So if you're still not sure on it, and I'm not trying to sell you on it.
How much did they pay you?
Exactly. They have not paid me anything. I'm just excited. But there's an open demo in a week. Everybody can try it a week from now. So you might just want to wait and check
and
that out.
And this is a
February 22nd release. Yeah, okay. There's actually, I did get to play Endgame. I can't talk Endgame. About it. So that's when you're really leveled up and have some more powers. We can talk about that in a games cast in the near future.
Cool. You were talking about how you thought the game was going to be a lot of big enemies and not so much like little small ones. Was there small enemies
oh,
around?
Oh, there's tons of small enemies. It is that, but meaning I played more interiors. I played just more variety. And so again,
it looks more than what we've seen.
Yeah,
there's more to it. Than
I played legitimately, I guess, the game from start to where they made me stop for a good couple hours, you know, because mm-hmm. I had to stop. Ask questions here and there, and I spent probably 30 minutes customizing my javelin. Oh my God, by the way, if you like customizing, yeah. you're gonna love it.
I saw today Mike Gamble tweet out, like, if you play the beta, you get this blue skin or whatever first.
Maybe it's a vinyl or something?
Yeah, vinyl. That's
it's
what
a vinyl.
Yeah.
Those are stickers you put on top.
Looks
so, yeah.
hot.
So,
that's
yeah.
blue.
So,
yeah.
In I my mean. Yeah, so I have a bunch of footage up. You can actually look on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/FM3_, but I have my character, which I spent all this time customizing, and I'm playing
Paul
with other characters.
Have 30 minutes of this demo left. You're like, I'm almost there.
You know what's sad is I was playing with a bunch of other characters, not as many. Well, they were smarter. They just went to play the game, but I had to customize. But you can do a lot. Everybody's going to ask, can you have microtransactions? And are they there? And is it a danger? Because it's EA. Look, I don't know how far they take it. I think BioWare's been pretty smart and transparent. So a lot of it's just vanity. But you can buy stuff. I don't know what the store is going to look like. And even if I did, I couldn't talk about it. But you're going to be able to buy some cool stuff too, I think. So I'm digging it, man. This feel. But
now, this is the first time someone's talked about it, and I've been excited about it.
I think if you like that style of game, man, because I know you like Division. I just can't imagine you not liking it.
See, I don't like that style of game.
Yeah.
But this has so much going for it that I'm like, I'm going to give this one a shot.
Yeah.
Like, Division, Destiny, all that. It's like, that sounds too big for me.
If this game can get you to play.
Yeah.
Like, this game. If you can stick around for a game as a service, I'll be blown fucking away.
Me too. Me too. But like, this just sounds so fucking cool.
And maybe I'll end on that. I would say that some people might be worried. They're like, I don't want to think about changing all my components out and I unlock 6 components and blah, blah. It's definitely, you can still just play and have fun. You don't mm-hmm. have to think all about all that stuff, and you still get the story and the feel and just hop in your javelin and unlock stuff. You don't have to worry about that stuff if you don't want to, but it's there for the people who want to go deep. And by the way, it's got different levels of difficulty, so if you go in and play, I think you can start day one on hard. I would recommend that if you play as a team, and you should play as a team, because I think you're going to get, like I did this with God of War, but I really felt rewarded by choosing exactly what I need. Not just choosing whatever because it's all easy. So what I was going to say is you unlock, I think it's called Grandmaster, and there's 3 levels of that. So it can get super difficult if you're into that. And I think there's going to be some players that are. So I'm stoked about it.
It sounds awesome. Yeah,
but hey, cool. VIP demo this week. And I mean, I can't wait to hear from the Kind of Funny fam and what do they think of it. And you guys, whenever you get your hands on it.
And then also, friend.
Yes.
You played Far Cry New Dawn.
Yes. Ooh. So, full transparency, I never beat Far Cry 5, but
did
play a few hours. I was going to ask, did anyone at this table play a lot of it or beat Mm-mm. it?
I played it, but I fell out of it.
So, we maybe aren't the best experts for that, but I do know enough about it. Open world, you know, a bit of that post-apocalyptic feel. The big change with this one is highly fluorescent. It's got the super bloom is what they call it. That's a real thing that can happen potentially, is that suddenly there's a super bloom with all this color. So it's a same map, but slightly transformed. And I would also really point out, it's not a full $60 game, right? So it's not a DLC, mm-hmm. but Ubi recognized that, look, we did take the same map. It's a lot of the same gameplay feel. And what I would say to players are, if you liked Far Cry 5, you're really going to like this. New missions, new weapons. It's got new things to do. One of the things you do is go to these outposts and you take them over. And they can go multiple levels of difficulty. And you're basically scavenging ethanol, which is how you upgrade your camp and all that stuff.
So is it Far Cry 5.5? Is
that's what everybody's calling it. Yeah. And it's funny, that was happening a lot in my chat. And I was like, look, that's accurate. I feel like when people say stuff like that, though, it's a negative connotation. And I would actually, I think it's a good question for you guys. Which would you rather have and why? You know, it's like release a game that is, oh, it's pretty samey. I kind of got my fill of it.
Yeah.
Or would you not have that at all? So it's $40. And I think that's the way to look at it. Is if you liked it, it's there for you.
Have they iterated on it? My problem with Far Cry 5 was this. It would be the idea that traversing Hope County and exploring all that, I liked the moments of it, but the time between, I remember feeling so punishing of people finding me. Of like, I'd be on the run to the mission, and there was just millions of patrols. And it was like, all right, guys, fuck. I just am trying to get over there.
There is definitely... At least I didn't run into it where they put a stop on me, but they were all over the place. Like there's people chasing you still, like pulling up in trucks when you're like, I'm trying to make it to the next spot.
Yeah.
But they do have some fast travel in there. I assume that was in 5.
And I didn't mean 5.5 as a pejorative, by the way. I know that some folks have.
Yeah, I just wanted to point it out.
And I think that's fair to say. I think when I hear 0.5, I think D&D 3 versus D&D 3.5, and that's just a vast improvement. You know, you end up at a place where you take something, refine it, make it more fun. Is this a glorified DLC, or is this a refinement that smooths some of the edges off the game and adds new material that really makes you want to play?
Is a fair question, which is why I asked the opening. I was like, I didn't play through all of 5. Mm. So I think they definitely learned some lessons. So you're going to see that in the traversal and maybe a little bit of some of what you said. Uh-huh. They're probably just having a little more fun with it because, you know, it is kind of just a fun sequel like they've been known to do with Far Cry.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they fixed. Someone was asking about how the bosses work, for example, and I didn't get that deep into it. So I don't know how they tune that. You're going to have to wait. I'm going to go back and play a little bit more of 5 so I can maybe answer that a little bit.
That oily sunglass man is back, right?
Are you talking about Father?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, oh, by the way, it takes place some 20 years later. They do tie together a little bit. You delivered a baby in the game, and she's actually part of your camp now, grown up. And so there's a little bit of tying in the story.
And this is a sequel to one of the endings, right?
That's what I don't know either.
Yeah, from what I understand, spoiler alert, one of the endings, like Father sent off Nuke.
No, the Game Awards kind of spoiled that for you. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
Right? I just figured there's nukes all over that world. But
also true, man, just like our world.
When you blow a nuke up, you can't walk around in the same spot 20
And a lot of people ask, too, you don't have to play 5 to get into this. So that's the thing. Like, if you like this style of gameplay, open world, taking on these missions and quests, driving whatever across the world, and a freaking giant boar comes out of the woods and you can stop. It's a little like Red Dead in that sense, right? But it's the first-person shooter gameplay that Far Cry's, you know, been known for. Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to enjoy, but... If you've never been into it, yeah, I wouldn't say, oh, you have to play it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Now, just more, I didn't play the final, so I can't really comment on that. I haven't played enough. You know how I am about that. But I think if people liked Far Cry 5, you're absolutely going to like what they have to offer. And yeah, it's not a full $60 game, so we'll see if it has enough content to make it worth it, that it's hopefully not just a DLC that was overpriced. Nobody would want that. It seems pretty big to me.
This seems like ever since it was announced, I thought it was a weird game. Because it being this weird place where it's not DLC, but it's not like a full sequel, which is like, we have those games now, so it's not like that's weird. But what's weird to me is the look of it and how similar it is to...
I mean, it is the same map 20 years later.
To Rage.
Rage.
Oh,
that's the thing that I'm like, this feels, and I know video games aren't made this way. It's not like, oh, let's just beat them to it. Like, there's been a lot of development and stuff, but like... This more so than a lot of other things like that feels very reactionary and very like... Hey, we got to get this out now, and it's like it seems like it's going to be the better version, just from what what I've heard
better than Rage
so far. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you think Far Cry New Dawn's going to be better than Rage?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'd be willing to bet. I don't know this at all. There's no inside knowledge here, but my suspicion is that this was probably used internally to help argue for the way they were building Far Cry 5 and some of the budgeting to be like, well, we can't make it a game as a service exactly, so...
We can double dip on the map.
We can double dip on the map, and that helped it get through development and get the resources needed to get the game made internally. That would be my guess.
But I'll go on record. I'll take a bet if you want. One whole dollar that I think Metacritic-wise, I think Rage will do better than Far Cry.
Yeah. I was going to say, it definitely has the potential to do that.
Yeah.
I've played it. I can't talk about it yet. Yeah. But this, you know, I would offer some commentary on it that does not relate to specifics on that. But you got to remember a couple things. Okay. Yes, the style of it artistically. I think the vibe is there. Post-apocalyptic. It's got like this pink neon. I don't know if that's coincidence or it's honestly just like trends and
trends, I would think. I don't think anybody's copying each other. I think it's just
But trends. I mean, what's weird about that is like the trend is those two things.
It
like
is.
Post-apocalyptic really with neon pink and blue is like such a weird, like that's not
true.
A trend otherwise.
But right? Pierce Brosnan and Tommy Lee Jones both had to deal with volcanoes at the same time.
Exactly. Right? Exactly.
But I would point out, I'm like, okay, but Cyberpunk's out there. Mm-hmm. They all just steal from that. So
yeah, but Cyberpunk is that is a trend. That is something that like there's already a archetype of what that looks
that's
like.
That's true.
Seeing these two games, you're like, this is like oddly similar.
But that's what I want to point out. Far Cry New Dawn is just this farm world, you know, built on this super bloom, and it has like the pink and the graffiti, but it's not a high tech cyber whatever. Rage is. And so actually they're very different when it comes down to it. When you go in Rage, you'll see it is very much closer to Cyberpunk than it is what Far Cry is. They do share this, like, you know, you might have a gun with a wrapped, you know, pink cloth.
Post-apocalyptic too, right?
Yeah. And that goes back to Mad Max.
I'm leaning into whichever game has more assless chaps and silver hockey masks.
That's Rage, probably. That's probably. But they're very different, actually, when you play. Like, it is just this open, almost country feel still in Far Cry. And Rage is not. That is your true post-apocalyptic cyberpunk-y world. It's got like these, it's very, actually Mad Max is where Rage probably drew a lot of it.
I just think Tim,
didn't the Just Cause developers, didn't they do Mad Max a long time ago?
Metal Gear year.
Like, I mean, that's what that draws on more than
I think. And that's the thing is, I think you're just seeing more and more, or you had been. I mean, everybody loves post-apocalyptic games. They love open world games, but we have had Fallout 4. We have had Mad Max. We have had et cetera, et cetera. But I think that you get to hear now and it is, well, what do we do differently? Let's make it not brown. Let's make it colorful. I know that. You think you've got the market cornered on neon blue and neon pink, but those are popular colors, right?
John Ryan always liked to, from IGN, liked to champion Mad Max. He felt like that game never got the fair shake it deserved.
Oh, you mean game of the millennium?
I think a lot of people looked at that internally and went, yeah, something very good happened here. There is some water to be drawn from this well, but we're going to have to dress it up a different way.
I mean, end of the day, you are right that stylistically they're too close. And I think that's why you see the games are releasing at different times. I think Rage is in April or something, or March or April. It's out there. It's definitely March or April.
Kind of it's definitely March or April, Fran says, then grimaces.
Well, it's funny.
Tim's on it.
I have the date April 23rd in my mind. Oh, no, that day's gone. Ooh.
May 14th.
There it is. Oh, it's May. Very good. So a little after Day's Gone, which I think is April 23rd. Getting off track. But I was going to say, what you will find with Rage, to remember, that's another ability-driven game. So very different from Far Cry game-wise. Yeah. But you're right, stylistically, sure. I mean, there's some ties.
I'm interested in the Metacritic thing. Like, I feel that...
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Like, if I was to predict, I would think that Far Cry, because it's a smaller game being marked that way, I feel like it's going to hit the 80s range. Uh-huh. Like a little
you
over
think
80.
Rage is going to be below 80?
I think it has the potential to in a way that I don't think Far Cry
Why do you
does.
Think that?
Just from... what I've heard,
but from
so
the
far,
well, yeah, exactly,
just from like what we've seen of it, and like just the kind of like meh reaction so far to it all. Again, I haven't played it, so we'll see.
I couldn't comment on that, but I'd say if you look at what it is, right, Rage was originally developed by id, but Rage 2 is developed by the Just Cause folks with Avalanche. Their engine, an Avalanche. So it's actually more in that world,
and engine.
It's awesome. Exactly, Kevin loves Just Cause.
See, my thing with Rage 2 is I think Rage 2 is unquantified. You don't know what to expect
that's
from
what
that
I was
game.
Getting at.
So I think expectations are low for it. Far Cry, I think, it's $40?
Yeah.
It's a $40 on the same map, kind of like Primal. I feel like people have their expectations set appropriate. I think that's going to be a harder hurdle to get over.
That's going to be a hard sell just to have people come out and buy a big new chunk of a game that nobody ever finished. I mean,
and that
right
is
there,
the other thing there too. It's like Far Cry 5 was definitely not the
but you don't have to finish
favorite
it.
Of
I
the
think
franchise.
That's where they're going.
No, but I think it's more the idea of like, I didn't not like Far Cry 5.
Yeah.
I think I'm like everybody else that I played it for a long time and I was like, oof, this is going on. Oh, something else is happening and moved on. It feels like even Nick, who was like super Far Cry 5, he never beat it. He went really, really deep.
Yeah, you need to come back to the world?
And it's like, so that's my idea of like, we have another Far Cry and it's Far Cry 5's map. And I feel like, Well, I never really beat Far Cry 5. Maybe I should go back and finish that, and then that'll not happen.
Hope County was the one part of Far Cry 5 I didn't care about. Like, I really enjoyed that the gameplay systems and mechanics they created, but the cult thing, who cares? Just give me something else to kill, and I don't need to go back.
And that's where I was going with talking about Rage 2 being developed by Avalanche and all that, is they have more to lose. Like, it's not developed yet. It's not been out the door. It's a brand new way to use that engine. They're working with it. So, like, Far Cry, we know it works, and that's what you were saying. It's like, but do I need more of it? So I think Rage is more exciting in that way. Mm-hmm. But yeah, of course it's got more to lose. What if whatever mechanic doesn't work?
I guess that's all my point is that there's a chance it's going to be bad. Whereas I feel like with Far Cry, it's like, we know exactly what we're going to get.
Yeah, gotcha. It plays fine. We already know that.
Well,
Rage,
enjoy my
$1
$1 May.
We'll see, dude.
In May.
I can't wait.
May.
All right. Now I want to talk about it. Resident Evil 2.
Woo!
Resident
Evil. My game of the year so far.
Of course.
But like, jokes aside, man, I am so surprised. I beat both.
You guys both finished
it? I did Claire A and then Leon B.
Mm-hmm. I did Leon first, and I'm in the middle of my second run with Claire.
This game, to me, is such an accomplishment. I feel like we have never seen a remake that accomplishes as much as well as this did. Last year, I loved Shadow of the Colossus. I thought that was a great example of how to do a remake and still nail the atmosphere and still nail what made the original one special while also improving issues that the original had, like with some camera issues and like just controls specifically, where I feel last year Shadow of the Colossus was the best version of that game.
Oh, sorry. I was
just breathing.
No, I was going to ask. It's, I always feel so bad interrupting people. Go for it. And all I did was breathe and he stopped talking. Can you set it up for people? Is this just a pound for pound remake with beautiful graphics, or is it totally remixed?
It's totally, not totally, but it is not that. It is not.
It's not a remaster.
This is it's definitely not a remaster. This is very different than the remake one. Which was a bit more
and
one
Shadow
for one.
Shadow was more like that too. That was more one to one.
Yes. This is kind of not taking that and like just going even further with it. And the reason I think it's so good is it is a modernization of Resident Evil. We always talk about like old games and our nostalgia for it and how we kind of filled in the gaps playing it, where it's like, oh my God, it was so good. But if you played it now, you're like, ooh, like there was a lot of issues there or whatever. But it's like when you want a remake, it's weird because there's that push and pull of like, well, I want it exactly the same. But I actually want them to make something that plays how I remember it playing. This does that more than I've ever seen done before, because it takes the characters, it takes the story, it takes the look, and I think that it is better than my memories ever were. And that's never been done for me before with a video game, where it is better than my nostalgia.
Is this the scariest video game you've played? I'm really curious about that.
I'm going to say yes, because it's consistently scary.
Wow.
And I would say before that, Fatal Frame 2 was the thing that like fucked me up. But Resident Evil 2, this one, they made so many wise decisions where the scares come from gameplay. The scares don't come from
jump
story
scares.
Elements and jump, like they're jump scares.
There are jump scares, though.
But I mean, like my thing, and we've talked privately about it. Like before this, I would say the scariest game I've played would be Resident Evil 7 in VR.
Right.
Where it was like, I felt I'd be chased and I knew I'm going to come around that corner and blah, blah. This one is scary in what you had predicted, Jared. Like it's scary because I'm down to my last three bullets and there's one zombie coming at me and I don't know what's on the other side of him and on the other side of the door. So I don't want to use it, but he's right there. Do I have a knife? Like that. All those like second to second decisions, those nanosecond firing off of what to do and how to handle that one thing.
This game made zombies scary. It made normal, low level bad guys. Yeah. Every single one felt like a threat throughout the entire game. When I 13 hours in beating the game, they still felt like a threat because it's like, oh man, I don't want to waste my shotgun on this enemy, but I'm not sure if I can run past it.
They introduce new enemies at the end. I'll run around. Oh, he grabs me. Fuck. And it's not like he's doing something crazy. He just grabs me and he's a one hit kill. I'm not getting gnawed on. I'm getting killed. Okay, crap. And then you start engaging like, man, he takes a lot of bullets. And then it's like a whole new level of like, fuck, how am I going to get around
shooting?
This?
Yeah.
And that's the thing about it that I think I find so refreshing, so amazing. One of the reasons I love it so much is that this... And I'm doing a quick head check. This is the most survival horror game I've played since Dead Space. I think it's more survival horror than Dead Space.
And that's the coolest thing is that we all played Dead Space and we're like, oh my God, this is what we remember Resident Evil being, but it actually is. I feel like this goes a step above because the resource management, unlike any other Resident Evil I've ever played, doesn't feel like it's getting in my way.
That's what I was going to ask.
It feels like it's a feature.
Yeah.
And it's like you're constantly thinking and it's like they're always giving you just enough ammo to make you feel like you don't have enough ammo. But you do, though. But you always do. Yeah. And like every time I feel like, oh man, I might have just fucked myself.
Yeah, do I make handgun ammo or do I make shotgun ammo? Fuck. I have to make that choice right now. Whatever I do, I think
it's
gonna be
so cool. And because the way that the camera works, and because like going back to like, is this the scariest game? When these zombies are coming at you, just the way the camera moves is so impressive, because when you see the zombie coming at you and it's already just kind of like unnerving. But if it gets too close to you, and it's hard to tell where that kind of hitbox is.
When it will grab you. Yeah.
It jumps in and the camera like gets so intense and it's so claustrophobic, where I've never experienced that in a third person game before. Like this game just has made me feel things that I haven't.
Okay, that's the most exciting part of all for me to hear, because I've really, really been hoping this turned out as well as it looked like it was going to. There's an old episode of Retronauts back when they were at 1UP where they defined survival horror for the purpose of their discussion as a game where a sense of dread is an essential gameplay element.
Yeah.
That actually affects how you play the game. Mm-hmm. Was it screwing with your decision making?
Definitely, because that's where the resource management comes into play. But then also on top of that, I think that the visuals go so far, like the decisions made. The RE engine that we first saw in Resident Evil 7 was like a game changer. You know, it's just like the way that everyone's faces look. Yeah. The facial animations were amazing, but it's still fucking creepy because they don't look real.
Yeah.
But it's like they have a unique look to it, and that carries over into this game. But I was reading an interview that the director said, and it sounds funny every time I say this because it sounds nasty because I'm me. But it's like they really designed the game around the ideas of shadows and wetness. So everything looks wet and it's not like a metallic like sheen. It's like everything reflects with the lights and with shadows. And that makes every single hallway scary, even if there's not a zombie in it, because everything has movement. But it feels like it's real and correct. Like that's what it would be in real life.
So your eyes are just darting all over the screen constantly because you're looking for movement.
Yeah.
Oh.
It is a little hyperreal. Yeah. So that was where I landed. I played it for about 45 minutes and I decided, because it's all under embargo, you guys were finishing it so you could talk about it in full in the show. I was like, nope, I want to play this on stream. I want the crap scared out of me. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to play tonight. I played it in that time, and I was like, this is the game that they always dreamt of.
Yep.
They took so much care. Like, the opening credits, it's unreal how much care. That was what stuck out to me more than anything. Like, it's not just some remake of an old thing and they needed to get something out because 7 was out and they're built. This is what you said too, I think, or one of you did, where this is what they wanted survival horror to be. 7 absolutely captures it in its own way as a first person, but man, they nailed the third person now with the camera work. And I thought going back to the puzzles might feel cheesy and stuff, but no, I actually really like it again. I don't know how that plays out.
They're different puzzles. I mean, like that's the thing is like, it's this is the game they wanted to make, but I think more than that, this is the game they wanted to make, but also the game that they wanted to make now. It's not the game they wanted to make in 1998 or whatever it was.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
I think a pertinent thing is to bring from Games Daily today, where a person wrote in, he's like, I'm a Resident Evil fanboy. Why are so many people in their reviews saying that they love the game, but they wish Capcom did more, right? And they're referring specifically to like the second story being so similar to the first story, right? And my response to it was, the rest of the game feels so modern and concurrent, where if you jumped in and played this game, I feel like, not knowing it was a remake, you would think this is a AAA. They put it out right now. They know what they're doing. This is a specialized tone. It's this, that, and the other. It hits on those levels. And again, for me, like where tank controls turned me off in the old days, also did the, what is this map? I feel overwhelmed by shit. And the quality of life fixes here of having the map and having it be like, oh, you don't have any room, but you know, now that you've looked at the bullets are on the map.
So you can
do whatever the hell you want to. And then when you are low on bullets, be like, shit, okay, downstairs, go do this, run through that.
That was
your sense
huge,
of dread, right? The amount of times I was doing the, like I'm really there, I'm like, okay, I gotta run out, go right, go left. I know that there's usually a liquor there. Are you ready? Let's go. Right? And you're just doing your run, right?
Bringing up the liquor.
You suck yourself up. Yeah. You're gonna
bring
get
up the liquor there. It's like, I feel this game is impeccably paced from enemy perspective, because it's like every time, like the moment you start getting comfortable, they'll introduce something new that you're
fuck Tyrant.
And that's the thing, the Tyrant, where it's like, it's not spoilers because like,
he's
people
been around, right?
Yeah. We know that. But like the way they handle him in this game, it's like every single time that song starts playing,
it starts getting louder and louder. I'm like, fuck!
Is Mr. X following Leon in this one as well? Because in the original, you only get that in the other scenario.
It's both.
Okay.
And it's
because that is a change in the game that I think improves it.
It does. And so that's my thing. Is we've talked about the gameplay. We talked about the puzzles, which again, like these aren't the same puzzles from the original game, but they're like inspired by like, okay, they're Resident Evil style puzzles, but what if we made them today? And like they're always interesting, and they're always. You know, you're like, what the fuck is this? Until you get it, it clicks.
Oh, dude, when it clicks, and that's what, I mean, the thing about the game, right, of just like, all right, starting to mark the doors on the map automatically by jiggling the handle. Oh, I need the clover key. All right, whatever. Oh, you need a crank thing. Okay, whatever. And when you get those moments that aren't aha moments because they're not puzzles, but it is the idea of like you finally like, all right, I got to investigate this room or this one thing, or it isn't clear, and you get there and you find it and you do find the handle and you're like, awesome. Now I know that it's on the map. I need to go here, do this, which then opens up the next thing, which will lead to the key, which is.
And what's awesome about that is this is the first time that I would ever compare a Resident Evil game to a Metroidvania game. It's like, and they always kind of have been. You could always make an argument that they are that way. Like even the first
Resident Evil game. Got to a spot where you can't go through.
Exactly. So it's like, but this one, I feel, does a better job of making you feel like you're powering up.
Yep.
So instead of moving like from being like based on an old point and click adventure game, which is kind of the feel you get in the earlier ones, now it's more like a Metroidvania.
Yeah, like because it's little even just visual details. Like as you're going and getting weapons, you see the weapons on them. You see your character get more pouches and like pockets to be able to hold things. And it's like little things like that. It reminded me of Metroid. You know, it reminded me of Castlevania. And it's like that's so cool because I feel like that was something always missing from the Resident Evil games, at least for me, where like a lot of the puzzles and stuff felt like they were getting in my way of doing the things I wanted to do. It's like, fuck, I just want to open this goddamn door. I don't want to have to do all this shit. Whereas like with this one, it's just like, I know how to open this door. I just need to do this to do it.
Okay.
That's super satisfying. But the thing that I love the most about this game out of anything is I feel like it is a Christopher Nolan-esque take on the Resident Evil world. And I mean that where it's like, it's not the Dark Knight of Resident Evil games, but I would say it's like the Batman Begins, where it's like they took the idea, and like we always talk about with Resident Evil, where we just don't like it when it gets
where too, it's like, oh, this is a cool zombie story. Oh, that's crazy. Oh, fuck. It's insane. Yeah,
there's like everyone's cloning each other, and there's fucking like superpowers and whatever. It's like, it just like that elevates way too quickly. This is a zombie story, and it's like, but this is an experiment story, and anytime
they
do
the story to feel
a bit
cinematic,
to feel more grounded, where it's like they build a world I believe in. There's rules to it. I get why things are happening. When we do see things that aren't just zombies, it feels more explained. Like we're not getting a bunch of crazy ass things. There's a couple exceptions, but like there's dogs.
But even then, they feel
like zombie dogs,
gone wrong,
and that feels right. You know, we're not getting like giant moths. Because it's like, what the fuck is that? You know? And like, there's a couple things that were cut from the original, because those were in Resident Evil 2, and they're not in this.
Is the sewer gator still around?
You'll have to play the game to find out. You know what I mean?
Pretty sure it is,
Jerry. But there's a lot of really cool stuff that they do with that. And I feel like redoing all the voice acting, rewriting the entire game goes such a long way, because it like this feels like a cool story. Whereas in RE2, it felt cheesy as fuck.
So this is the gritty Dino Crisis reboot that I've always hoped for.
I honestly, because of this game, I think we might see Dino Crisis.
Well, that's what I was about to lead into. So because of the obvious critical success of this game, commercial success very likely to follow. This is a game that people have been hyped for a long time, super high quality, high expectations that have been surpassed. What are we going to see? I think about how Silent Hills was killed. And Konami doesn't want to make video games anymore. Will they rethink that? And if so, will it be informed by this? Will we see other old franchises with like Alone in the Dark or Dino Crisis or things like that? Will people suddenly dust these old IPs off, or are people going to try to create original new horror? What are your thoughts on that?
I think you make a good point, which is going back to what I was saying. This is the game they always dreamt of making. And now that you see the masters do it, because it could have gone wrong the other way, right? Mm-hmm. Like the story was overblown again, and it kind of was just a remake, and they didn't quite get the controls. No, they like, it's unbelievable how good it looks and feels. That, yeah, I think it would inspire other people to try to get on their level. And Resident Evil 4 did that. You know, Resident Evil 4 hit a point where it's like, oh my God, like they rethought survival horror. It's action survival horror now and all these different elements. I think for a while we thought, well, this is the new thing. This is the new norm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We've gone all the way back 20 years. I think it was 98 was RE2 or whatever. Mm-hmm. But now we're back. And yeah, I think RE7 and this combined, like people aspire to make games that are that polished mm-hmm. and that good. Certainly, I think with what they'll see with this game, that actually segues into the question I've been wanting to ask. Do you think it is short because it is so well done? In other words, when I played it, that's the thing that got me. I'm like, this is unreal. I'm playing on PC, by the way, too, with everything cranked. It looks unreal
yeah.
good. This like it.
I play on Xbox One X.
All the cutscenes, it's HDR, unreal. It's
beautiful. Well, RE2 is one of my all-time yeah. favorite video games, but it's too long. It was always
and
too
it was long.
Long.
But yes, they made quality of life stuff absolutely cut it down. But would you also say, I think it's what, for the one quest might be 6 or 7 hours or something?
The average I've been seeing is quest one is about 7, yeah. quest two is about yeah. 5.
Like, meaning, I assume you would have preferred a completely brand new version of that with Claire, right? It just probably imaginably, meaning, does it look like that would have taken a long time?
My biggest issue with the game, and if I were to give it a numbered score, I'd give it a 9. And the reason that I wouldn't go above that is because I do feel that for everything they did right with this game, where it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe they made all these fixes and changes that worked and it's just better. Going back and doing the other storyline.
Second run.
It's like, it feels empty and unfinished. Where it's like, I feel like they could have just made a couple bold choices and changes to make it
in the second run.
Yeah, because the problem is it's just like the first game where it's like it's them going through the exact same scenarios. There's a lot of different things going on, but there is a lot of things that they're doing the exact same thing. The same story beat happens, and I'm like, if they just changed a percentage of this, it would have been totally unique experiences. It's a weird thing where there's no canon.
Well, that was something that when you had RE2, you had a lot of those overlapping beats as well in the original, but you had the added pressure of Mr. X chasing Claire the whole time. And that was really what made the difference there. It was that you had this pressure that you didn't quite feel with Leon, and that made the experience. And I think in our memories, that's where those holes get filled in. That makes it feel like it was more divergent than it actually was. So because they made that choice to make all the scenarios more compressed and more tense, I think maybe they're leaving some of that behind process.
They diverge a lot. Like, yeah. There is a lot of different gameplay elements, story beats. Yeah. Like, there's new things added that weren't in the original games. There's a whole orphanage section that is amazing horror.
Oh, awesome.
It's a horror section that is just fantastic. And I can't wait for people to play it. But it just kind of feels like, I feel like the decision was made in a boardroom where they were just like, hey, we can't piss people off. We got to keep these things the same. If we change too much, people are going to be mad. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that was a bad call because
for me, it's definitely, I mean, as a first timer, right? Like, I've talked about it, but you know, I finished Leon's story. I was like, holy shit, that was awesome. Start Claire's second run immediately. This is great. She's talking to him through the gate. That's lots happened. I thought less had happened here. We just split off. No big deal. And then to go back in the police station and start doing the same stuff. It did bring down my excitement because it was that thing of like, oh, okay. How talking to Britt, how much is this going to change? She's like, this is different. You're talking about new section. I'm like, cool, but it's like, and then I do have Tyron on me way earlier. And it's like, okay, I'm going to try other stuff because I feel like I've done this. I'm going to get back to this, but I wanted to play other
stuff.
Nothing
is exactly the same.
I know. Like,
Even everything's from the beginning, remixed.
Different doors are open to begin with. Yeah. Different puzzle things are there. You know, I'm getting different solutions to puzzles that I don't have all the answers to. And I was like, oh, is it the same stuff? Went and loaded my Leon save, took photos of everything, came back, started trying to use those combos. Nah, they did not
work.
Can you screw yourself the way you can in the first one? If you play through as one of them in the first one, you can grab equipment that won't be there the other time around.
Oh,
and
yeah,
go back.
I forgot about that.
Can you do that in this one?
So that's another thing. Like, to really kind of get to the nut of what disappoints me about this is I'm so impressed doing the second round of like, oh man, I killed that guy in the other one and he's a zombie now. Like, that's really fucking cool. It felt like, oh man, that thing that I did in the first round, like Claire, or I played Leon second. So Leon is now seeing what Claire did. But then I'll like go to a door. I'm like, why open that door?
Exactly.
Why is that locked again? Mm-hmm. And like, that to me is the problem. And okay. I get that that's the original game. They're trying to keep that vision. But it's like, I really feel like they could have went just a little farther and made it so that there was different elements they introduced where the door was just open because that is what happened, you know? And I go back to what I was saying with the canon is even with RE2, it was like generally understood that Claire A, Leon B was the canon story, but even that doesn't fully line up with where they ended up going with all of it. And it's like the director in some interview was just like, look, the canon is kind of these events happened. Who did them and when? We don't know. Like, that's a shitty answer.
It was dark.
Well, the biggest thing for me is I just don't care either. Like, I get it and I understand it and I don't hold it as a giant problem. It's just that little bit of excitement of like, it went from, holy shit, this game's amazing. I love every moment of it. I want to see it all the way through, to jumping that same game. Oh, it's very similar. Well, I want to play Walking Dead and I want to play Life is Strange, so I need to switch to that. Whereas if it was, I would have been like, you know what? I'm locked on and I want to fucking finish
and
it.
And I don't play games this way. Like, I'm pretty much a, like, maybe 3 hours at a time, like sit and like play in a bunch of chunks. I do not binge through things.
Oh,
like
you play
this.
Like the whole thing basically almost?
I played in like three nights, maybe two nights, I beat the Claire one. And I beat Claire, like did the final maybe like 2 hours to finish it off. And immediately I'm like, I'm starting Leon.
Oh, wow.
And I started it, beat it in one sitting.
Oh, wow.
Like one sitting with an additional 2 hours there.
Yeah.
And I did it in just under 5 hours. And I was just like, that was fucking. It's so worth playing through both to push through the things you're like.
Again, it's not even a push through. I'm just.
I think it is. Okay. It's like it disappoints me that like there's these things where I'm like, because it is just such a blemish and such a perfect thing otherwise. Like I really feel if Little Change were made, it would be a 10.
How much of it? I'm still a little unclear though. How much of it is remixed? Like in other words, when you say you went back through it and you played it. Are you going back and you said the codes didn't work, but did I still have to like unlock whatever the desks?
I would say it's like
you still have to 40,
do a lot of the same
45%.
Oh, so it's like 50-50. You do see 50%.
I say there's more new stuff. Like there's more areas.
That's more than I expected.
There's more areas that you do not even see as the other person.
Oh, that's what I needed to know because I wasn't clear if it's like the beginning is different and then most of it's the same. And you know, did you see the controversy at IGN? Like they put it up.
Yeah.
Damon said it was like, I think all the same or something, but
well, Damon didn't do second run, right? Damon restarted. And this is based on what I've
happened exactly.
So when you finish the game, it's like, cool. Now you have obviously new game and you can pick if you want to be Claire.
Just
new game. And then it unlocks second run, which is if like I beat Leon. Right. So my second run popped and it was Claire.
It is not clearly presented.
You can actually
that makes
do
sense, but it's like if you don't know, it's not like clearly you're like, oh, you need to do this to actually beat the game.
100%. To my credit or to Damon's credit and to everybody's credit of like it, obviously now it'll be hindsight 50-50. Everybody's hearing talk about it. For me, I started it. I was like, oh, cool, second run, Claire. That makes sense. Jumped in and then like I was saying, it was the same stuff, remixed or whatever. But it was, and I stopped and I texted Britt and I was like, am I doing this wrong? Like, should I start the start a new game and play through it? And I did. She didn't answer right away, so I went and did it.
And that's the one you need to do.
No, that was just, hey, here's all the cutscenes again. Here's everything. Second run is very much like, oh, you already seen the intro. All right, you're at this police station.
Wait, so what do I do, though, when I beat my
second
first run?
Second run. Go do second run.
So do second run. Yes. Okay, so it is apparently confusing, but that caused a bunch of upset. But it was, I think the stigma out there had briefly become, it got knocked in the review. It was an 8.8 or something because it was all the same. But he accidentally played the same is what you're saying, briefly.
Right. That's the idea. He started the new game.
So if you do new game is what you're saying, you can play what? The exact same thing as a different person?
No,
my
understanding is he played through.
I'm trying to figure out what he had played that
scenarios, but didn't play second run.
He didn't connect them.
And he didn't connect them. And so he experienced, if I understand correctly, much more sameness than most players.
What I'm saying is, how do you make the accident if you could walk me through? So I beat the first run and then do you know what you click on to make the
second
mistake?
Run. Yeah. New game, second run.
No, that's
run.
What you want to do.
Oh, yeah. Then you just click on new game.
The one that's the mistake?
New game.
Oh, if you accidentally click new game, you can play you can play as the other character in the same.
Yes.
That's what happened.
So here's the scenario. There's scenario A, scenario B.
Yes.
It's Claire A, Claire B. Leon A, Leon B.
Right.
You play as one character, then you switch to the other's second.
For the second run.
Yeah.
It's what you
and
want.
If you don't, then.
If you
so
don't.
So now let me just stop Fran for one second. I beat Leon A, right?
Confused.
So if I did new game and I did Claire A, everything would be the exact same that I got out of Leon?
If I wanted to see everything this game had to offer with every little tiny difference, you need to play all
everything.
Four.
Okay.
But like,
just to get a complete story though, you get second story.
To get a complete
run.
Story that is like, you get 98% of what you need. You do either Claire A, Leon B or Leon A, Claire B.
Okay.
Okay. That's so we're covering a lot of important stuff here, but we have yet to cover the most important thing about playing Resident Evil 2.
Bullshit Jared question.
Okay. Tim Getty, you've played the whole thing.
Don't have to worry much longer.
Can I or can I not? Because this is going to be the deciding factor for me. Can I or can I not play as Tofu?
Yes, you can.
Yes!
That's confirmed. Yeah. Oh, yeah, totally.
All right, that's it.
I have one final question on the topic whenever we get there. If you're wrapping up, Ari.
No, I mean, I tell
I'm still not used to how the show works. You guys are happy to have people interrupt.
Ask your fucking question for
me. I'm just starting interrupting. I got a question for you guys. What do you think the next Resident Evil in this vein will be? Do you think it's Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, or do you think they just take it all new?
I'm so excited. I'm so excited to see what the answer to that is, because I feel like this presents such a great opportunity for them to just actually reboot.
Yeah.
To actually just start over and to
take all the feedback from 7 and now 2 and be like, we understand what people really want out of this thing.
But it's two paths now, though, because 7 has that's first person, the VR. Yeah. It's warranted to almost be two paths now.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, three paths. When you think about it, you've got remake path in the vein of this. Now you've got take everything you did, do brand new, and maybe keep some of these cool puzzles, but rethink everything. And you've got first person, the whole RE7 thing.
Well, they've absolutely got to remake 4. They're going to do it. Probably in this engine.
I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah.
That's
the remake 4, because 4 is not a survival horror game.
That's
4
a great,
is an incredible action-adventure game. Remaking 4, which is one of the best video games ever, as survival horror, taking those storyline elements and then putting them in this terrifying engine.
I just see them porting it to everything for the rest of forever.
What, 4?
4, yeah.
No, there's too much money to be made. Every GameCube kid ever born is just like, give me 4. I mean, that's... Cause it's
I would be very surprised if they remake 4.
4 is the best of the series.
I agreed with that until now.
Right. Like, now,
I legitimately think that this is the best Resident Evil.
I'm not surprised by that.
They're totally different games.
They're totally different.
Gameplay style.
But like... said that, it's like, I feel this accomplishes what it's trying to do better than RE4 did, and I fucking love RE4.
Can anything be more tantalizing than we're going to take the best previous Resident Evil game and marry it to the new best Resident Evil game and produce the scariest, best Resident Evil game you've ever imagined? But I also believe, yes, they'll do a new game. They have to. There's a chance to reboot. Like
I didn't think about that, but that's the path I'm talking about. I would still like to see Resident Evil 3 Nemesis, but also you skip the 4 and...
No, I'd skip 3. Nobody cares about 3. Nobody cares about Code Veronica. I'd skip those.
There's so many still people good to be had, but...
Code Veronica was my first one.
But you make a good point. Why not skip to 4? Because that would... I can't even imagine the intensity of that. I will say, one thing maybe you haven't thought about, but we'll see. Maybe it's next gen, actually. Just the amount of detail and that many characters on screen, I think it'd be hard to pull off.
I don't think you have as many characters on screen. I think you do the same thing.
But that is RE4. It's hordes.
You pare it down, and it's Chainsaw Guy in a hallway now. And
that's a different game. You had me, and then you lost.
I don't want it to be an action.
I'm out.
I think they should do all the above, though. But I would love to see. I guess now that I'm saying it out loud, I'd love to hear that they're working on another remake for this gen, and it's out next year. But for next gen, they reveal that they're just totally revamping it in the style and a whole new storyline or whatever.
I don't think we see a new one of these till next gen. I don't think they'll do another remake to make this.
I assume they were making Resident Evil 8 in the style of the other one because it did well. So that's what that's why I asked that question.
You're all twisted around.
Where's the I mean, I guess there's two development paths that were happening, though. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's an incredible
remake Resident Evil 6. Draft blowjob. Come on. Where are we at?
Draft
co-op.
Yeah, the thing I would want most is for them to make a sequel to this game that is not Resident Evil 3 remade. It's a new.
Same
canon? A new Resident Evil 3. I like this canon created here that feels more grounded and isn't too fucking insane. And it's like, let's just keep going. I'd even be fine if they were just like, it's Leon and Claire. What they do next?
I want them to make the Ghost game so bad. The one that never got made.
I always forget, was that a red? No, so originally it was Devil May Cry engine, which got turned into, so the first teaser, if you've never seen it, for Resident Evil 4 on GameCube, there's this spectral image in like a classic hallway just like this.
Yeah.
And it got canned.
Yeah.
That got turned into Devil May Cry.
It was this cloak with like a hook.
I want to see him go a different direction, leave the zombies behind, go like full supernatural.
Yeah, Dracula.
Spectre. It got
we're fighting Draculas, everybody.
I'm not fighting Draculas.
Again,
Ghost House 2.
I love the zombies. Yeah, when you have those things coming at you, it does feel real. I feel like it's a world, despite the fact that, you know, you run into like, I had to laugh because, like you said, it does feel believable. But like, for example, you run into one of the cops and in his sketchbook, he's sketching like the weird puzzle. I put the coin in the statue and I'm like, isn't this your police station? Like,
this art museum.
What is going on at this police station?
That's the thing is that I feel
like
they were we're kind of painted into a corner because at the end of the day, it's like, we're trying to make this more real, but like it is silly, goofy shit of why the fuck
would it work?
Is there it's medallions that open up a thing? But going back to what I was saying,
put
the
police station in an art museum.
Exactly.
But that's fucking amazing because the Christopher Nolanization of this is that it wasn't a museum in the original. They made that choice here.
Oh, I didn't even realize that's what's happening.
To try to explain why this is like why this. There's fucking underground caverns and like things that work all this way.
Can they explain why even like 8 hours? Or I guess I only played 6.5, right? My Leon campaign was 6.5. So like what? 6 hours in, 5 hours in, Leon's still like, what the? Dude. Like you're fucking zombies. You've seen them all. It's what we've all been doing, dude.
Oh my God. Like Claire, her version of that is, what's your problem? You fucking know the problem. They're a fucking zombie, dude.
We got a virus, motherfucker.
Like, why do you keep
Did
saying
this? Did they keep
this,
the
man?
Writing as an homage to how bad it was back then?
No, it's just one of those, like, audio cues.
Big shout-outs, like, too, in terms of graphics and fidelity and, like, immersion of when the zombies get close enough and they finally put up their hands. And, like, you're like, aiming at their head and their hand gets blown off, but they're still coming at you. I'm like, that's
and that's
terrifying.
Going off Dead Space, this game does a really cool thing. It is super specific of wherever you shoot, it'll fuck them up where you can like shoot their arms off and then they can't grab you. If you shoot them in the leg, they come at you short, like a lot slower.
Yeah, well, yeah, you can get them on the ground and they'll
slip. But the cool thing about their heads is you need to like not just shoot them in the head, you need to destroy their head or
you
else
do.
They'll
they
come
get back.
Back
up later. And I noticed that. I was like, God dang it, I don't have the ammo for
this. And again, that was another one of my things that was a struggle point for me with Resident Evil before this of me wanting to apply regular zombie logic to it and them not explaining it, I felt well enough of why it was different. I remember playing GameCube RE remake. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And being like, that was a headshot. Why is this guy still coming? In this game, I feel does a better job of explaining like what this virus is
it's
and what's
clearly
happening.
The T virus.
Yeah, Well,
so many viruses.
Dang, I'm broke.
Crimson heads are returning
to life.
I can't wait to play tonight. I'm stoked. I want to be scared.
Absolutely.
Don't be a coward. Leave your door open.
Oh, no. I'm going to put on like red lights and the headphones are on. That's what I do.
Yeah, I listen to it. I use headphones. I bought the Dolby Atmos little Xbox One thing.
And
I
was using
it. And I got to say, I was pretty disappointed with it.
Oh, the sound?
The sound in the game is great. Using it with the Dolby Atmos, I thought it was a really bad mix. Mm. And it like, it was not clear where people, like where the zombies were coming from. And especially with Mr. X running through.
Do you have headphones that run?
Any headphones run it.
Yeah. Really?
But I was going to say, Atmos in headphones it's a virtual synthetic thing. I know that some movies can do it well, but you're right. I think it takes tons of time.
I've had great experience with it with some games, and this was not one of them. Much.
No, my plan for this was different. I'm going to do the same thing I did in 98 when I played this.
Get some ceiling speakers.
Trust me. I live in an in-law unit in the sunset.
Yeah, me too.
I fucking wish
nothing.
That I could one day.
As much as I like the idea of the headphones and the rest and the individualized experience, in 98 when I played Resident Evil 2 the first time, it was four of us crammed together every Sunday night for a month playing through the game. Darkened house, blacked out, stereo system turned up as loud as it could. One person driving, three people huddling around, watching and like whispering advice. And more than one occasion, when that first liquor dropped off the ceiling, I was driving. And I was so startled, I threw my controller up in the air screaming. And we're all like, I'm dead by the time. That's how I'm going to do this one. It's going to be Angie, maybe a friend or two. That's why I haven't played it yet. I wanted to have that.
All the way to the end, man,
atmosphere.
I found myself screaming.
Yeah.
No, fuck, totally. Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Right, yeah. No, me too, man. Like, Gia did not like that at all. Especially because I had headphones on. It used to be rather like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Talking about the music and stuff, though, like, the game's use of music, I think, is so powerful and good because there's obviously the iconic safe room music, which is just, when you hear that, you're like,
serene.
Okay, we have a moment. We can chill.
Mix your herb in peace.
Yes, exactly. And like, that feels so good. But then anytime songs start playing, it just always feels right. The final boss music is epic. It's awesome. And it feels deserved. It makes the final boss not feel like the video game tropey shit of like, well, now I'm doing this thing I haven't done for the rest of the video game. It's like, no, I'm doing the thing I've been doing the whole time, but it feels taken up a notch.
Nice.
And when Mr. X is running after you, when that song's playing, you hear his footsteps, it's like,
ooh,
it is intense, man.
Wait. Has any video game in the Resident Evil series ever screwed with the safe room? Like, you get in there, you're safe. There's a moment in Mario 2 right before the end where you're running toward the open bird mouth.
Yeah.
And it fucking comes at you.
And it comes at you. It's one of the best moments in games. Yeah, exactly, because that means you're at the end.
Betrayal.
And then it attacks you. Has any Resident Evil game ever
I don't remember
cheated you on the safe room?
I I do not have a memory.
If
that
a that zombie jumped out of the item box, like that would be one of the best things ever.
In the chest.
Well, the zombies in the fucking lockers.
Yeah.
You know, you open a locker and these things come out. God,
that's the first
man.
One that got me because I didn't, you know, expect them to. I don't know why, but. Yeah. That's when I stopped, by the way. That was one of the, I'm like, that's it. And no, not because I was scared, but I'm like, I want this genuine, like I want to straight and be mm-hmm. like just in it. Well, I wasn't, I was playing that one at night, but I didn't have the time to binge it either, like mm-hmm. you were saying. I'm just going to go for like 5-6 hours and
oh, it's good.
Soak
is this
a
game of the year contender?
That, what'd you say? It was
honestly,
shiny and wet?
It is.
Yeah.
It really is.
Huh? What yeah. is it? Shiny and wet? What is it?
It was shadows and wetness.
Shadows and wetness.
Yeah.
With an erotic novel.
This is a kind of funny games cast, and it is brought to you by Robinhood. Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. It's a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive, clear design, with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. What, Kev?
Fran ran by, and he just looked funny.
Tell me about Robinhood, Kev.
My favorite thing about it, transfers money instantly, man.
Mm-hmm.
You connect your account, send over like a dollar to test it out, boom, it's there. You don't have to wait up to like 10 days with other sites.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoy that.
Good, man. Was it simple to use?
Very simple.
That's very exciting. Robinhood is giving our listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at Greggy.Robinhood.com. That's Greggy.Robinhood.com. Greggy. .Robinhood.com. And also, shout out to, drum roll please. Thank you. University of Advancing Technology. The robot revolution is coming. Don't be afraid of it. Be a part of it. If you want to learn about robotics, this is a great place to do it. If you want to learn about VR or game design, any of that stuff, this is a great place for you. The robotics degree program at the University of Advancing Technology provides students with the foundational robotics education for the design, implementation, and analysis of robots and embedded systems. Kev, again, this sounds like some you stuff. I'm a little
the future
worried.
Is now.
The future.
Robots are freaking cool.
Put a chip in cool. me.
I'm a big fan of the robots. I love the robots. I'm
are you a big fan of
this.
VR?
I'm a big fan of VR.
You a big fan of video games, Jared?
I'm a big fan of video games.
Man. This might be the college for you.
Yeah.
Graduate at the speed of tech. Earn a bachelor's degree in less than 3 years. Start learning tech from day one. Students begin their program, major courses from the semester until they graduate. Online or on campus, UAT offers a range of technology degrees for both bachelor and master programs. University of Advancing Technology is a university in Tempe?
Tempe, Arizona, that's where
we'll
going
be this weekend, doing our Portillo's meet and greet on Sunday. So that's exciting. Maybe we'll run into some UAT goers, students.
That's what they call them. That's what they call them.
That's their mascot, the UAT goers.
So where do you go to school? I'm a goer at UTAV. Yeah.
Learn more about the programs available at University of Advancing Technology at uat.edu. That's uat.edu. Where do I want to go from here, Greg?
Where do we go?
Life is Strange 2.
Life is Strange 2, Episode 2, Rules.
All right.
Really good. Really, yeah.
What's the game? I actually never played the first Life is Strange. What's the gameplay like again? I know.
Life is Strange 2 and Life is Strange 1, but we'll focus on Life is Strange 2, is basically a better engine for a Telltale game in terms of making choices and how does that radiate out. I'm going to go into light spoilers here if you know
wait,
nothing.
It's very point and click and story driven.
Yeah, it's choice based. Sure. It's not Telltale. Exactly. It's more like that than thinking it's more like Sam and Max Telltale. Okay. It's very much, yes. It's, hey, you let's make decisions and see how the story plays out.
That said, Sam and Max plus Life is Strange is the best video game I can imagine.
Wow. Okay. I guess. So in Life is Strange 2, you are two brothers. Both too young to be on your own, but circumstances put you on your own. Huh?
Do you have to play one to play two?
Oh, no. Well, they're in the same universe, but you don't know.
That's
I mean,
right.
It would be
it's
helpful.
Not a continuation.
It would be helpful in for like one nod early on, okay. But no, you don't need to
not
worry about
deal.
It.
Awesome.
And the little brother is developing superpowers, the telekinesis at the moment. And so we have to deal with that while being on the run, basically. And the trials and tribulations that come along with that. Episode 2 picks up right up where episode 1 left off. The boys are on their own. They're trying to get down to Mexico from the Pacific Northwest, moving their way down. The police.
Okay.
A misunderstanding at home, which also led to one the little brother setting off a telekinetic blast and leaving people like, what the fuck? What the hell just happened? So this time we find them making their way down. They hit up their maternal grandparents, who they have been not with because they've been living alone with their father. And we pick up their relationship, seeing what that's all about, trying to live a somewhat normal life there, pick up the pieces, and move on from there. Once again, it's just a really fascinating story. It's doing what I want out of A Life is Strange and giving me interesting characters, interesting threads, trying to grab onto it. This sees our crossover with the kid from the interstitial Life is Strange they put out that was for free. I always want to say Captain Underpants, but that's not what he was. Kevin, can I get a Google?
Yep.
The Life is Strange Captain... Captain Sparkle, Captain Antonio.
Oh, I know what you're talking. I remember seeing the.
Captain this Crunch. Is our cro- that this is our crossover there, where it looks for that
Captain
safe
Spirit.
Fun. Captain Spirit crosses over with that and picks up and exactly why I cannot remember it at all. Right, and go from there. Still a beautiful game, still a touching game. This one I felt, you know, episode one was very much who these people are. Oh my God, we have this unexpected thing to deal with. What are we going to do? Episode two is very much us dealing with the ability and training our brother to use that ability. And it's interesting to be in this position of we're not the one with the powers. So now we are, the older brother, we are trying to teach him when and how to use the powers or not to use the powers.
You're like that other kid in the Shazam movie.
Exactly. Well, you know what you're more like, and stick with me. You're more like Kevin Costner in Man of Steel.
Oh,
because it's very
but he
interesting.
Sucked in Man of Steel.
I know, and it's weird to be put in that position now. I'd be like, I kind of understand why he sucked. Because when we're watching, like, just fucking reveal yourself, fucking Kal-El, save right. your dad from the tornado, you idiot. Yeah. Man of Steel spoilers. I know you're all about to watch it. It's similar here. Of yes, stuff is happening, and it is like, are you going to let your brother use the ability, or are you going to stop him? You know what I mean? You know what you're risking. Do you want to reveal it here? He wants to say this. He, you know, puts himself, obviously, he's a little kid. He puts himself in situations he shouldn't put himself in, and then, fuck, okay, how do we deal with this? What do we want to deal with it? What is your moral compass internally going to be, right?
I can't wait to play this. How many episodes to this one?
I believe this one's five as well. Yeah. Kev, can I get a Google on that? You Wikipedia me?
How long was it roughly?
Same as usual, so about 2 hours.
Awesome.
Exactly. Yeah, it's same
so
thing.
I should play it.
Oh, yeah, totally. You should play Life is Strange 1 if you didn't play Life is Strange 1.
Should I play the first?
Yeah, totally.
I didn't have to, but I
should.
Oh,
not for the story, but like Life is Strange is great. Before the Storm is great, I would say
play
all
that. But isn't the gameplay similar?
Yeah, I mean, 100%.
It's just the story. The
in Life is Strange 1, Max had a different power. She could rewind time. Life is Strange Before the Storm, no powers. Just, hey, you already met Chloe. Let's play as Chloe and do that story. And then Life is Strange 2, now telekinetic. Yeah, five. Okay. I was right. Five episodes. Highly recommended. It's a really cool idea. It's an interesting contrast where we're coming up, where I'm going to talk about Walking Dead in a second. Mm-hmm. But this is very much, hey, we're raising our brother, right? At least in this moment. And we'll see how this all plays out. But we're trying to bring him up and make these choices with him for the right reasons. And where do we want to see him go? You know what I mean? It's a classic superhero story of like, are we going to put our own privacy above the greater good? Are we going to help these people in their moments of need? How are we going to do that? And there's a lot of interesting moral choices it puts in there and a lot of different things. And it does put me as, you know, the true blue, I want to be the hero, but I'm not the hero, right? I'm trying to protect my brother. So there's a whole bunch of different things where like, not injustice, but like somebody's shooting their mouth off of this Christmas tree lot, right? And I'd really like to fucking put them in their place, but I don't want to stand out. We're fugitives from the law.
Right.
I don't want to get involved with this. I just want to bounce. I don't want to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But this guy sucks. But I can't do anything. Let's go.
It's Walking Dead. Final season.
Walking
episode
Dead.
Three.
Final season of Walking Dead. Episode three. Only one more episode to go. Last Gamescast, we talked about this where I just ran out of gas because it was a long week and got through episode two. Was excited to get back to episode three. It didn't disappoint. It's actually. I wouldn't say it. It's not. And more heartbreaking than Telltale in general closing, but it's heartbreaking to play this game and be like, wow, you guys did a bunch of different stuff you usually don't do in Walking Dead games. Like, you're actually having Clementine do way more action-oriented stuff. And some of it, I was like, we didn't really need this. Other stuff, it was like the sneaking and the way we were sneaking, the way we're infiltrating, the way we're doing these stealthy things. This isn't normal for a Walking Dead game, and it's done well. And it is cool to see you expand that and go out there. So minor spoilers here for Walking Dead. I won't get into the main story stuff, but Clementine, obviously we raised in Walking Dead 1 as Lee. And at that time, you know, my interpretation of that was trying to raise a good kid and like she makes the good choices and protects that kind of thing. Season 2 saw us play as Clementine and have to wrestle with those same things. You know, a giant choice at the very end there that I didn't choose the bad option I thought, but I I made an option with Mike Clem that was like, you both suck, I'm going to do this on my own kind of thing. You know, season three, you wouldn't really play Ezra, but you saw her and blah, blah. Getting the controls back for season four and the final season at that point has been super interesting because now we have traded places. We are the Lee role. We are raising AJ. We have a child to look out for on our own, right? But it's not how it was with Lee where we're raising a kid who still is from this world. Our world, right? That grew up with crayons and TV and everything else. We're raising a kid who only knows the zombie apocalypse, the Walker apocalypse. And so it's been very fascinating for me personally, as somebody who really digs these games and vibes with them, to let go of my preconceived notions. You know what I mean? In all these games of choice, it is usually still that idea of like, no, I'm going to be the good guy. I'm going to be the bad guy. I'm going to move this. There's way more gray area, I feel, in season four of like, I hope I can tell this person to fuck off. It pops up, fuck off. You know what I mean? Like, you suck, and I'm not going to pull my punches as Clementine and say that. But then also with AJ, the kid, right, who is murdering people and is fighting walkers, and people being like, holy shit, that kid just murdered someone. And me being like, yeah, what about it? He's still, and then the, but it is that argument of, I'm making it, and then AJ's asking me if it's okay what he's done, and me making the argument, he's still good, but it's knowing in my head he's not good, but this is the world we live in, and these are the rules we live in. And we got, last night, the final choice there was one you'd expect it to be of building, 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 and then, like, you know it's going to come down to a kill or don't kill situation. And we finally got there, and I think in previous games, I would have maybe debated the whole thing. And in this game, it was just so much like, no, this is Walking Dead, and we are way into it, and there's no way out. Fucking kill it, her, it, him, AJ. I'm playing with pronouns, yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. Them, kill them, AJ. You know what I mean? Of like, fucking do this. And there was a guy there, and it's like, and like, they do a really I'm blowing a lot of the stuff, but you, hopefully you'll just play it anyway. You know, you whatever. I mean, like, what?
I'm robbing it of its emotional gravity.
But no, I mean, how do you talk about a game that's all decision making, not talk about some of the decisions? But like, there's a guy in this game who's like trying to convince you that, like, I used to think like you, but like, they're not monsters. Like, there's still a part of us in there. And like, you have to go in and see through his eye, and you come out, and he's like, what are you? I'm like, fuck you. They're monsters. You know what I mean? He's like, doctor. And so, like, to have that, him try to be that. It's funny now to have someone who is the angel on the shoulder of AJ, and I'm clearly the devil. I think just the realist, but because I'm not like, you know, fucking everybody, but like, you know, hey, they fucked us. We got to fuck them. And see him and just look at him and be like, you are so naive.
Get your,
you
know, Morgan, what I mean? Bitch ass out of here. Exactly. You don't need to see this storyline again.
Exactly. Right. And it's just, it's really well done. And I'm very interested, especially because we're going to pick up here with episode four with, similar to season two, what we saw with Carter, right? Like, we're going to pick up with who the main antagonist has been, at least for, you know, the middle of this, or for most of this whole thing, gone. And so, like, for our final 3 hours, 2 hour, 2.5 hours is Clem. Like, what are we actually going to be doing? And, like, we're left in a little bit of a cliffhanger situation, but I don't know how they're going to land the plane. You know what I mean? I don't know if you can kill Clem, if we can just pull a season one and be like, all right, cool, that's how it's going to end. But I also don't know if you can just let her walk off into the sunset. I don't know, now that Skybound's involved, if they have more of a future they want for Clem, if they're just going to do with something ambiguous. But like, I'm very fascinated to see what happens here and how this goes, but also like what AJ's going to look like, because I feel like that's how they could end it too, is really that all these choices and the things I've put in his head and the way I've justified his actions to him, if we end and then you get a flash forward that is different depending on all your choices, that shows you a very different AJ. But it's interesting.
Did you beat this one?
Yeah, I beat episode 3.
I guess I, since I haven't been able to keep up, I only played, actually, it was very early, like the early Clem stuff.
Yeah.
I thought this was the final. This is, you're saying there's more to it. You just mean
final,
if they,
season.
I did. This is episode 3 of 4. I have one more episode left of the final season. That's what I'm wondering. Yeah.
Is that out yet?
No.
It's 4? No. 4 is out in March. Coming. Yeah.
That's the one you're talking about. But then it's, in other words, do we know when the storyline is capped and over?
March.
It is in March. That's
when will then?
And that's not out yet. I thought this one was the final. That was my
this idea. Is the final season. This is the third episode in it.
Within it. That's what I totally got.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm going to jump ahead a bit because I want to get to a fun thing later. Jared.
Yes, sir.
I have a section here called RIP Wii Virtual Console.
Oh, yeah. The end, alas, of Wii Virtual Console. It seems like it was only yesterday that it was 2006, and we were all playing Wii for the first time. I love that music. It's great.
It was good.
And it blends so well with Drake. Like, it really does make
those, those mashups are...
But, the Wii... I have a lot of fidelity for, a lot of love for. We've talked about that on the show before. But this week is kind of a the last milestone in the life of the Wii. This is the week that they shut down the virtual console and WiiWare store for good forever. January 29th is the last day that you can download anything on virtual console or WiiWare. And they haven't been able to buy currency there for almost a year. So for most people, it's effectively been shut down for several months. But
yeah, wait, so
the mad among us went out and bought a whole bunch of Wii points at the last possible second you could.
You fucking Nintendo dorks.
And then stuck an SD card in their old Wii and spent last night till like 2:30 in the morning sitting there downloading WiiWare and VC games until I finally, I got it down. I had 200 Wii points left. So that, there's two unspent dollars. Thanks a lot, Nintendo. It was fun because there's a lot of software that's going to be lost. Now, I've heard rumors that out
there... Are these just old, like, NES games you can just go play?
No, because remember that Wii's two things. Wii was virtual console on one, and the second is WiiWare. And let's talk about each of those. First, virtual console. Yes, they are just old NES games. But Wii, unlike almost any other emulation device ever created, was largely designed around the capability of having true output for some of the consoles it emulated, which means things like NES and SNES emulation on Wii are incredible.
That's true.
Better than just about anywhere else. Yeah, it's just unreal. It's so good that you don't want to play it on a flat screen TV. You want to plug it into your CRT and play it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just freaking awesome that way.
I can assure you I do not.
and if you come to my birthday party on Sunday, you'll be able to play Wii games on the CRT. But so that's one. You've got that. And also some of those virtual console games have not been re-released other places. So the only way to get them is to pirate them at this point. I leave it to you whether or not you want to do that. Well, but things like Zombies Ate My Neighbors, Princess Tomato and the Salad Kingdom, a bunch of other stuff that's totally... Those
Zombies
are both
Zombies Ate My Neighbors, definitely.
Zombies Ate My Neighbors is wonderful. A bunch of other stuff that you can't find other places. And the weird things like Street Fighter 2 for the TurboGrafx 16 that never even came out here.
Oh, really? Like that's cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of neat stuff on Virtual Console. TurboGrafx. The other end of it, though, of course, is WiiWare. And those WiiWare games are going away. And again, I've heard rumors that in dark corners of the World Wide Web, all WiiWare games are available for the Dolphin emulator on PC. Just but rumor, I can neither confirm nor deny that because I don't have hands. No, I don't have hands-on experience with it. Not with WiiWare stuff. So I went and grabbed a bunch. And there's a bunch of Nintendo-published stuff on WiiWare in addition to other third-party things. So there are Nintendo games on WiiiWare that are going to go away forever. Things that Sakurai might reach into someday for Smash Brothers, for example.
Doubt it.
And there's some really fascinating stuff there.
What keeps them from bringing this to Switch?
I think the question... The hardware? Well, no, that... I disagree with that. There are some...
Meaning, is there some hardware limitation?
No, I think it's a matter of... Well, everything was done for 480, so you have to remake it. That's the main thing, is that Wii was not an HD console. So anything you're going to bring to Switch is going to have to be up-res. Sure. And that's a significant investment. They own the properties. They can do what they want with them. But no one has in the 10 years or so since these things were released on WiiWare. So are they ever going to come back? Is there a lot of demand for them?
They can't take... I mean, I'm sure it'd take time, but not incredibly long, because the Wii wasn't super successful, so I can't imagine they were out there like...
Wii wasn't super successful.
Wii was, sorry. I thought you were saying Wii U for a second, and definitely you were not.
That's a very different thing.
You're talking about the Wii.
Yeah.
Whew. How was Aqua Space?
I did not get Aqua Space. I did, however, get Through Space.
Through Space.
So Through Space shocked me. I had never played Through Space before, and I was blown away. Through Space is a lot... like Polytronic's Super Hypercube, a game I really love.
Super Hypercube's great.
It's like a less good version of Super Hypercube, but some of the same ideas are there, and it's actually a very good game. I really liked it. And I was starting like, wow, Nintendo published this? Then, of course, there's all the ArtSoft games, which are neat. The Light Cycle game in particular is really cool. There's a thing called Maboshi's Arcade that's a one-button thing, and we've been on the one-button kick here with...
Oh, yeah. Ding-dong.
Ding-dong XL!
Ding-dong XL, which is amazing. And these are these really, it's like three-player, one-button party games. And they're really creative, and I've never seen them done anywhere else. I'm like, these are games I would have never imagined. And there's a lot of that stuff hiding there. So I was trying to save some of it, and yes, my SD card will die, and my Wii will die, and the stuff will be lost, but I want to have it as long as I can, so hopefully maybe
sell
I can stream some of it and at least show people these things, give them a chance to watch and learn a little more about that lost history, because game ideas...
Yeah.
That, just, I've talked a lot. I'm sorry. I've had a lot of caffeine this show. So
if there's one thing I've learned, Jared... These games might die. It might never be able to be played anywhere else, but someone will recreate them in dreams. Don't you
worry.
That's
true. Yeah, that's a good point.
They will do a shot-for-shot remake
that's
of
a good idea.
Princess Tomato's weird underwear. Well, I don't know
that,
if
that Princess Tomato will survive because that's just a ROM. The Wii Ware stuff is a little harder, but I do think like Virtual Console emulation was just so good, and it was legit. Like, if I want to go out and stream a classic game that's not legitimately that's that emulated everywhere... Like, you know, I have to stream through an emulator, and technically I'm breaking the law. Do I want to do that? Am I going to show games off to people when I'm incriminating myself by the very process sharing?
If you do it 1 second, I'll call you.
Then I'm absolutely legitimately showing you a game that I've purchased. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love the console. I'm going to say goodbye to it, and I grabbed some really, really great stuff.
We still have
I'm trying to think if there's any WiiWare game that I actually enjoyed.
Really?
Yeah, I'm like looking at the list here, and I'm like,
contrary.
I mean, there's some good ones. The Blaster Master one's good. Space Invaders Get Even is excellent. Excellent. Did you play that?
No.
That's a really good one. That's a great WiiWare exclusive.
Yeah, I missed out on a lot.
Jared,
of
what
these.
Do you? Final Fantasy. My
I
life.
Missed out on.
Wait, hey, where's this question going, Fran?
All the Jared, games are pretty fantastic.
What would you say?
What's that?
What about
wins,
family and friends
wins?
Party, family card games, family games, I mean, family glide hockey, family pirate party?
WiiWare failed for a reason. It was because it was full of crap. There was not a lot that was worth playing on
it's
there.
The opposite of what you
but
just
there
said.
Are about a dozen. World of Goo started out on Wii.
True. That is a good point. Well, the one thing you haven't said here, encapsulate for our younger viewers, and yes, me, because I've forgotten. What's the difference? WiiWare was what? Self-published? I could put anything I want on there?
WiiWare was the Xbox Live Arcade of Wii.
Gotcha.
It was just downloadable original titles for Wii. But
so
we had a very
program.
Small... Huh?
It was still an indie program, little certification,
a small,
but not a ton.
Small publisher program. Yeah. You couldn't just indie it your way in. Like, I made a game with zombies in it, wasn't going to make it on there. No, you had to work through Nintendo. But they published a few of the games on there. They took software houses and made their own stuff. And like, no, this is a Nintendo game. And those are the ones that I mostly tried to save, which were the ones that were Nintendo.
The Nintendo ones I'm looking at here, we got... You, Me, and the Cubes.
Okay, now that's Kenji Ino's last game, which is actually really interesting. He's the guy that did Warp. Do you remember Warp Software?
No.
Enemy Zero.
Warp Tour?
No. Enemy Zero, D2. He did a lot of like PlayStation and Saturn era early CD stuff. Really important developer, actually, and a really cool DJ. But that was his very last game before he died.
We got WarioWare DIY Showcase.
Yeah, that doesn't work anymore, but if you had DIY... For your DS, that was where you showed your stuff.
Yeah, you uploaded your stuff right now.
Yes. We got Through Space, like you
Through
said.
Through Space
earlier.
Is good.
It's Nintendo and Keys Factory.
Yeah.
We got not too many more.
The Artsurf games should all be there.
Tell me this, Jared. Like, with their cost and how many are maybe worth saving before next Thursday, which the people listening can still have time, how many would you buy? Are you saying, like, buy 20 and how much would that cost?
I think that there's really only about 10 that you absolute must-haves.
That's a task, that are worth
Yeah, and then on it's Virtual Console, there's maybe, if you want to buy these really well-emulated games, you could spend a fortune on Virtual Console. I have
on the Virtual Console stuff.
Because the Virtual Console stuff is just better there than it is almost anywhere.
That, there's like hundreds, you would say?
Yes, there are hundreds, but the standout titles, don't get things that are on the NES Classic or the SNES Classic. Those are excellent already. You don't need to go grab those. But there are plenty of things, everything from Blades of Steel to like I said, Zombies Ate My Neighbors, ActRaiser, things like that. Yeah. And you want to go grab ActRaiser. Those, you know?
Remember when everything was Wii points and Xbox points? Like, fucking tell me the money. Give me the money.
So dumb.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still kind of like that, but it's a lot more one-to-one.
Wasn't 80
Xbox
points
$200 is $2. Or,
now it's money.
No, is it?
It's money now, yeah.
Yeah.
Because 80 Xbox points was $1.
No, but you can buy points on Switch, right? like coins or
The coins are redeemed for things on the Nintendo
you
rewards.
You can buy. Oh no, that's just the wallet now. PlayStation's wallet.
You just have money. Right? Yeah, yeah.
I was thinking of V-Bucks.
The V-Bucks. Oh yeah, V-Bucks still. Yeah, yeah.
V-Bucks.
That's true. That I get. You're trying to trick kids. Trying to trick parents.
Don't have kids.
It's a few out there.
All right, Jared.
Yes, sir.
This is your last official episode.
Yeah.
Of the Kinda Funny Games cast.
It is.
And it's unfortunate because this is going to be Fran's first and only time doing this.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen.
Oh wait. What?
Oh wait. Wow.
What are we doing?
Oh, were you playing Ding Dong XL the whole time?
Were
you not prepped?
Do I not get to vote?
Do you not see the Slack message that I sent you?
Slack messages, Kevin! God damn it!
I think we should just ask.
You're lucky Cool Greg's sitting on the couch wrapped in an Afghan.
We'll pretend like none of that happened. You build it up again.
Just cut it out.
Well,
no, give me a second. I don't even know where it is.
I gotta get a piece of paper and a marker.
Go for it.
What is happening?
Where's
I guess we'll find out.
Oh, wait, right. There it is. I got it. It's okay. Safe.
Learning
we're
going
to wait for Greg Miller to come back, but I'm very excited about this.
Is it Jared Petty's Game History 3?
No, it's not.
Is it the fact that Jared Petty is now the second best Ding Dong XL player on the planet Earth?
Is that true? Number
that is
two.
Still the second
yes.
best.
Yes, I'm only
on
second
which
best
platform
now.
So who the fuck's Steam. The asshole? So
who's number one? His name is the Juggler, or her. I'm not sure, or they. The Juggler. The Juggler. I am 8 points behind the Juggler. At 258, I am a mere 8 points behind the Juggler.
I wonder if the Juggler is like looking at you like, oh, Jared Petty.
I got to 62, and I felt so good about myself.
266.
To be fair, Kevin, on handheld, it's harder.
Yeah, sure
the
is.
Game is harder on handheld.
That's what I heard.
I'm playing on Steam. I play on handheld constantly because it's one of the best mobile games. I'm now, forget the hyperbole, it is one of the best mobile games I've ever played. I love Ding Dong XL.
Wow.
But it's really good Steam.
Yeah.
Hit it, Kevin!
It's mobile game or bullshit. It's mobile game or bullshit.
I know this.
I forgot you did play it at
we did,
Extra Life.
The fundraiser. Or Extra Life, yes.
Yeah. That's right.
Jared hit it.
9 items.
Jesus Christ.
On today's mobile game or bullshit. This one, one I've had in the bag for a long time. Mm-hmm. I didn't create anything special for this episode. I just went with the last one I had played.
Yeah.
Mobile game or Star Wars.
Oh.
So, this is one of two things. This is either a mobile game. Or this is a character thing, person.
Something in the universe
from
of
the
Star
universe
Wars.
Of Star Wars.
I feel like out of all of these that we've ever done, besides the Nintendo one we did with Andre from Game Explain, this is the one I feel like I'm most prepped for.
Mm. All right. You're ready for this.
Yeah.
You spell Metachlorians.
Yeah, terrible.
I thought, you idiot.
Right.
Here's my thing. Here's my thing, everybody. I'm just going to say, beloved segment, mobile gamer bullshit, right? Greg Miller, obviously runaway champion.
Yeah.
I don't want you to be, because Tim's only beaten me once. It's an embarrassment. You know what I mean? You're going to tell me, Jared, you're so busy at your next job, you can't just write these
write
and send them in, and then we, you know, whoever does it.
Promotion. I would like to believe that this is not the last episode of mobile gaming bullshit.
It better not be.
I think this is something that needs to live on, if nowhere else in our hearts, but
outside of Patapon and the Game of Love, this is the game I'm best at.
All right, here we go. So let's start with the new guy, Mr. Fran Mirabella.
I got to go first? All right.
You're going first.
You get to go first, dude.
Yeah.
It's an honor. You
Fran Mirabella.
You. Oh, okay.
Blue Max, mobile game or Star Wars?
Star Wars.
Greg Miller.
Blue M-A-X.
M-A-X. Blue Max, mobile game or Star Wars?
I'm going to say mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game. Number two, Greg Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Steredin. Steredinn.
Steredin is, in fact, Star Wars.
Tim Geddes.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
I'm going with Star Wars on that one. That's
Star
practically
Wars.
Latin. Who's going to name a game that?
You'd be fucking surprised,
I know. That's
friend.
The best part about this.
Tim Geddes.
Yes.
Super Hydra.
Super Hydra.
Hydora. Super Hydora.
How do you spell that?
Hydoraah.
Oh, man. Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Wait, the other option is a Star Wars character?
Just Star Wars something in the universe.
Got it.
Could be a bolt on
turn?
The Millennium Falcon.
Huh?
My turn? Star Wars.
Star Wars.
It's like almost a Hydra is a dumb name. They
see
changed.
It's in it, but what's alarming for this is that Jared's putting so much Japanese on it, which is really it could be
a red flag.
I know
but
it could
not
be. I know. I'm gonna say mobile game.
That's why I thought originally.
Yeah,
but he might be effing with us.
He's effing with you, dude.
Fran Mirabella.
Did we already ask, are any of these doubles?
No doubles.
Okay.
Fran Mirabella. Mako.
Spelling, please.
M-A-K-O.
Yeah. It's like a shark. Mako?
Spelling, please.
Star Wars.
Star Wars. Greg Miller.
Of course, spelling, Matt. That's a
I'm going to say mobile game.
Mobile game.
No one's ever asked.
No one's ever
That's bullshit. I have to have asked one.
Shut up,
mobile game.
No one's ever asked.
Greg Miller.
Not with that confidence.
Winter.
Winter.
Mm-hmm.
Like the season spelled like the season.
W-I-N-T-E-R.
That's bullshit. That's just a word.
Winter.
I am saying mobile game.
Mobile game.
And if I am wrong, I'm opening the fucking app store and finding you a goddamn winter mobile game.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they ever
the I'm mobile
same?
Game. Mobile
yeah.
game.
I was going to say mobile game as well. Yes.
Mobile game.
Copy
so
game.
I'm saying it.
Copy game.
Number six.
That's the one that's going to get
Cam
us.
Gettys.
I hate it so much.
Therm scissor punch.
Hmm.
Fucking me. I'm going to go Star Wars.
Star Wars.
Yeah.
Is that one word or two?
Two words.
That's a mobile game.
Scissor punch.
You said. I'm sorry, Tim. You said.
What's
I'm saying.
Well, I'm the stat keeper too. You said Star Wars. You said mobile game, yep. Fran.
Therm's not a fucking word.
Yeah,
Fran is like correct. It's a mobile game.
Mobile game.
I have the high score in it.
He's agreeing with you now.
Nah, I don't know.
Fran Mirabella.
I love how he looks at you.
Glorkian Warrior.
Oh my God. If this is a mobile game, I'll kill you. I bet you it is, though. This is the one he's trying to get you. Glorkian?
Glorkian Warrior.
Are they always real? Who would come up with that period? It's a mobile game.
Greg Miller.
Mobile game.
Glorkian Warrior.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
You know how he thinks. Is that why you guys are
nodding? No, dude.
You don't.
You think you know how he thinks.
And, okay. I can't do it.
There's no getting in there.
Greg Miller.
Yeah.
Stinky.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Mobile game.
Yeah.
You guys made a fatal mistake. That's absolutely Star Wars if I've ever heard it.
Star Wars.
Absolutely.
Stinky.
Because you don't know what it, we didn't say it was a character. Might be a place. Might be a.
You're telling me if I open the app store, no game is called Stinky. Think, guys, this was an everything's mobile game. We fucked up. We bit too hard. We fell for the old Venus Fly Jared Petty trap.
I don't think there is a mobile game called Stinky.
Harrow Blaster.
What? Harrow?
Tarot.
Harrow. Okay. Harrow Blaster.
I'm going to go mobile game.
Mobile game.
Because this feels too obviously Star Wars.
Like the last one, but I'm going with Star Wars.
Mobile game, I'm on to you, Petty.
Blaster.
Mobile game. You won't make a fool of me on your final show.
There we go. That's nine, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Number one. Blue Max.
Yeah.
Not only an award granted to German fighter pilots. Not only.
Oh, my God.
A video game for the Atari 800 computer platform. But also a Star Wars character.
Oh! Yeah.
Boy, not a mobile game.
Fran on the board first. Plus one.
I think I won the last one of these. We'll see.
Number
nobody
two.
Nobody likes a braggart.
No,
I don't think
Andrew won.
Steradin. Steradin. Ladies and gentlemen, what were the calls on Steradin?
Tim said mobile. I said bullshit. Fran said bullshit.
Ladies and gentlemen, mobile game.
Yeah, baby.
Steradin.
Yeah, baby.
It is now tied 1-1. Fran and Tim, I have 0.
They got that Steradin SEO.
I got the goose egg, they call it.
Number three, Super Hydra.
I hate the way he says it.
Mobile game.
All right, that's a point for me and Tim.
Crap.
It is now me and Fran with one. Tim two.
All right, Tim's ahead. Number four, Mako. Star Wars character.
Damn.
Fran ties it with two.
You thought.
Tim and Fran have two.
Greg has one.
Yep.
Number five, Winter.
We all said mobile on this.
You did, and you were all wrong.
Oh, I
Winter.
Hate you.
I challenge.
Go for it. Assistant to Leia Organa Solo in the Timothy Zahn Star Wars cycle. Winter is an important character in those three now legendary novels.
Really?
Yep.
I read them.
One name, Winter. Yep.
Well, there's Winter Game.
Yep, but not Winter.
It's true. It's true.
Yep. There's also Catch App Winter Sports.
Yep, but there's not one.
See, that's why Stinky's going to get y'all.
What about Hockey Nations 18?
Winter just proved that you can't count on Stinky.
There we go. Number six.
Stinky.
Therm Scissor Punch.
Uh-huh.
God help us, that's a Star Wars character.
Tim gets the point.
No, I thought no. Wait.
Not according to my rules.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Yeah, no.
I thought I said third.
Because I was saying, I said the opposite.
Yeah. With three left to pick. What do we have?
I thought I said
right now, Tim has a commanding lead with three. Fran has two. I have one.
All right. Three more
Stinky
to go.
Stinky gonna get y'all.
Glorkian Warrior. Everyone said the same thing.
Mobile game.
Everyone was correct. The Glorkian Warrior is in fact a mobile game.
That makes it four. Three,
that sounded like
two.
An action figure to me. I thought that one would be harder.
Glorkian Warrior.
I was wrong about the Glorkian. Stinky, a.k.a. Stinky the Hutt, the canonical Star Wars character from the Clone Wars premiere.
And we tied.
Fran Mirabella.
I told you. I Stinky.
Guys, I am out of the running, but it comes down to the final question.
What's the way current score?
Current score right now is 4-4, Fran, Tim, Greg with two. Tim. Right now we have Taro Blaster to round it out. Tim said mobile. Fran said bullshit. Greg said, give me all the points.
Crap. This is the one that, Jared, I hate you if this is just not Star Wars, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, Taro Blaster. Mobile game! Tim Gettings wins!
Oh, yes.
I don't know why I had...
Greg. Stinky couldn't do it for you.
I had to disagree with you on Blaster. The most obviously not... Like, why would you put Star Wars because it's Blaster? But see, I thought he was messing with us.
Yeah.
That's how he hits you.
Like, Glorkian Warrior. That was a ploy. That was a time of ploy.
Winter and Stinky.
Kevin, hit the song!
It's mobile game or bullshit. It's mobile game or bullshit.
Well, that was fun.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Kind of Funny Games cast. Jared, thank you very much for your contributions to this show.
That was fun.
Thank you past year.
Thank you very much for your contributions to me having good days, also to my bank account, my career at All Etc. But I love this. This is
we love you.
Miss this so much.
So fantastic.
I'll see you back soon, man. Thank you. It's been great.
Thank you very much.
Now it's time for the post show. So, Patreon supporters, you'll get to see that.